congregation, and particularly boys and girls, we have a special opportunity this evening, and really this Sabbath day, that doesn't happen very often. We worship as a church family twice on the Sabbath day, and we as a church family regularly heed the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ to honor not only gathering together to worship and to preach the word and to praise and sing and to give our gifts and our tithes and offerings, but to follow the sacraments he's given, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And what's so special about this Sabbath day is we are blessed with an opportunity to have both together on the same Sabbath. We not only hear the Word of God preached a second time as we would normally as we gather to worship, but we could see visibly the gospel and the washing away of sin by the blood of Christ in the waters of baptism. And by the grace of God, God's people can taste the reality of the forgiveness of sins as they taste the bread and they taste the wine. And this evening, even if you may not partake of that Lord's Supper, even if you may not taste it, you still see it. You still hear the explanation of it. And in another amazing and blessed way, we reflect on the work of our Lord Jesus. It's a very special thing. Just as we saw with baptism, with the Lord's Supper, we do it because Christ commands us. We do it so we would be encouraged and strengthened, so sinners would come and see who he is and what he's done, so the gospel would go forward. It's beautiful the way the symbolism of the sacraments parallels each other. And we hope to consider together this evening, before we partake of the Lord's Supper, before we have that administered, what it is we do when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And that is, we remember him. We remember him. Well, why? How? What is the point of it? But we remember our Lord in the administration of this supper, in the drinking of the wine and the eating of the bread, firstly, because he commands it. Because he commands it. That is why, when it comes to worship, we do what we do in worship. That is why we sing psalms. That is why we give our tithes and offerings. That is why we have the preaching of the Word of God as the centerpiece of our worship. That is why we have baptism. That is why we have Lord's Supper. That is why we do what we do in worship. We do not do anything in worship of God for our own pleasure, out of our own wisdom, or to please any man or woman or boy or girl. All of worship is done according to God's command for his pleasure. And that includes the Lord's Supper. It's very important that we remember, just like with baptism, we do this not of form or custom or convenience. And to go even further, we do not even do this out of desire, ultimately, though by the grace of God, he does put that desire in the hearts of his people. We do this out of his command. The scriptures explicitly say it. We read in Matthew chapter 26, 26 through 29, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, take. He didn't say take if you want to. He said take. And he says eat. Take. Eat. He didn't say eat if you want to. He says take. Eat. Why? Why does he give them this command? This is my body. He says take and eat because this is me. Not physically, he was standing there before them. His hands were quite different than the bread he was breaking before them. But he's telling them, this is a picture of me dying on the cross. Take, eat, remember me. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Now, when we read drink ye all of it, we somehow sometimes think, because it's older language, that means they have to finish the whole cup. Like maybe when your parents give you milk or water or juice and they say, drink it all. But that's not what those words refer to. He passes the cup and says, all of you drink this cup. Nobody of his disciples may say, no, I'm not going to have that cup. They must. They must. It is his command. Drink ye all of it. And again, why are they to drink it? Why is he given them this blessed command? For this is my blood. For this is my blood. His blood was still pumping through his veins. His heart was still beating in his chest. His blood would be shed. And as Psalm 69 tells us, his heart would be broken because of reproach. The wine was a picture, a symbol of the reality of his shed blood and his sacrifice. Drink ye all of it. All of you drink it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, the new covenant, my renewed, fulfilled relationship with you, he tells them, which was promised and foreshadowed. Since my heavenly Father gave Adam and Eve animal skins from the first sacrifice to cover their sin, shame, and nakedness. This is my new covenant, the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. This is an essential command for a believing child of God to heed. It's not optional. Like the rest of worship, it does not depend on what we desire or what we feel, but what he has said. But blessedly, we can remember who it is who gives this command. This is the same Lord Jesus Christ who, when he rose from the dead, gave us the sacrament of baptism, who in the midst of their doubts directed them back to his marvelous sovereign sufficiency as the one to whom all authority was given. They worshipped, yet doubted. And he says, consider me, remember me, who I am and what I have done. And then he closed as he would ascend with that glorious promise that he would be with them always, even till the end of the world. It's the same person who gave us this sacrament as well. The same one who gave baptism is the same one who gave the Lord's Supper. He knew the disciples would doubt. He knew they would falter. It is not long at all after this Lord's Supper is commanded and given, Peter insists that he would never deny him when the Lord Jesus knew full well he would. That is the type of person he commanded to come partake of the Lord's Supper. Someone he knew would betray him. His disciples he knew would desert him. He gives them this command. We read in a parallel passage that he desired with great desire to do it. He gives the command, just like he gave the command of baptism in its original giving, not only to honor himself, which is the greatest thing of all, but to encourage his people, to strengthen them. For those of you who have attended the Lord's Supper, is that not the case? What happens as we gather together and we taste the wine and the bread together? What happens when we remember him together? Our sins, our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our problems all pale in striking significance to the glories of his complete work on the cross. It's a blessed command, a command that in the hearts of God's people causes them to be filled with desire too to partake. But if there are those of you who are trembling and doubting, not necessarily that you believe, but whether that you should come, because you wonder what people think. You wonder about your own sin. Perhaps you find yourself, like this morning, even doubting, like those who were worshiping him. Do not let those things, your fears, your shortcomings, your doubts, be of greater weight than the longing and the command of your blessed Savior. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, if you trust him, this is where you belong. It is not for those who have been sanctified enough. It is not for those who never doubt. It is not for those who meet the approval of others. It is simply and beautifully a command given to those who need Jesus. Remember him at his command, according to his desire, according to his sovereign will, not ours. Well, how is it we remember him? By the grace of God, if we would come to the Lord's table, how do we remember him? How was he called, as it were, to our minds? How was he called, as it were, to our hearts? Is it simply by tasting wine and eating bread? Is it simply we heard a speech and we read a form and we're all here together doing the same thing? No, there's something much more significant about remembering the Lord than doing the activities of a social club. It goes much deeper than just people who have a shared hobby. Although, sadly, that's how some unbelievers characterize it. We remember him. We remember him by faith. We remember him by faith. You see, faith is something very special. Scriptures tell us faith is a gift of God, and faith is his work. It is only by faith we place tremendous value on this sacrament, because faith honors the words and commands of Christ. Unbelief does not honor the commands of Christ. Unbelief does not honor the word of God. Unbelief pushes the word of God away. Unbelief plugs its ears to the revelation of Christ in the scripture as it is preached, and it closes its eyes to the truths of the scriptures as they read it. As Romans chapter 1 makes plain, it is the wrath of God that is revealed from heaven. As the scriptures testify, it is our sinfulness that is made plain before us. It is the Lord Jesus Christ himself who tells us men love the darkness rather than the light, and they do not want their wicked deeds exposed. That is unbelief. That is the natural heart after the fall and rebellion from God. Faith is his gift. Faith is his sovereign work. Faith is what the Holy Spirit puts in the heart of a sinner as the word of God is preached, as the covenant God marvelously and powerfully changes a heart and changes it, as our forefathers would put, inclining it, in the words of the canons of Dort, inclining it to love him, to follow him, giving it new desires to honor him. In short, faith is a miracle. It is creation all over again, not of the heavens and the earth, but of the heart of a sinful man or a sinful woman or a sinful woman or a sinful boy or a sinful girl. And that heart that is made new desires to follow the Lord. It hears his word and follows him the way the sheep hear the voice of their shepherd and they follow. It is his work, but that faith which he gives is exercised by them. Out of those new desires, he works as the Holy Spirit gives that gift and their ears hear, and their eyes see, and their shepherd calls, they go. They must go. You must esteem his words, his commands, his desires for you more than the other competing voices in your head or your heart. There are times you may hear the voice and think it's the devil. There are times you may hear a voice and you think it's your own indwelling sin. There are times you may hear a voice and you think it's the voice of others condemning you. But listen for the voice that you can always trust. Listen to the voice your transformed heart inclines to. And listen to the voice that heeds the word of Christ. No sinful man or woman, no part of your flesh, and no devil, demon, or cohort of the evil one will encourage you to hear the voice of Christ. They will constantly be trying to stop you. And as you may hear his voice this evening, heed his call, his loving and glorious command, and exercise that faith, not only in the worship of the hearing of the word, the singing of praise, and the giving of gifts, but in the remembrance of him at the Lord's Supper. As faith finds itself strengthened and encouraged and blessed, as it focuses not on the things of this sinful world or even themselves, but basks completely in the light of his glory and grace, the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, remembering him in his death and in his sufferings. We remember Christ in the Lord's Supper at his command, by faith, and lastly, for his glory. It's amazing how strikingly in our passage about the institution of the Lord's Supper, how it is all about him and not about them. He himself dominates the whole reason this sacrament is given. He is the one that tells them and gives the command and take and eat. This is my body. Notice it does not say anything about them. It does not say take and eat because you desire. It does not say take and eat because you are holy. It does not say take and eat because you have come to a certain point in your Christian walk. It says take and eat. Take and eat. This is my body. Remember me because it is about me. Remember me, not because it is about you. Remember me, he says. Remember me. Don't remember others. Don't remember yourself. He says, remember me. And the same is true with the cup. He gives this command and the reason for it, and it has nothing to do with you or me. It has to do with him and his gospel and his covenant. Drink ye all of it. All of you drink it. Every one of you. Why? For this is my blood of the new covenant. This is my blood. This isn't about your blood. This isn't about your life. This isn't about your experience. This is about me. This is my blood. My blood of the New Testament. It's not about the blood of the sheep. It's not about the blood of the goats. It's not about the high priest. It's about me, he says. It is about me. And gloriously, he continues the same focus on himself. It is his blood of the New Testament which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Some still struggle. How many can come to the Lord's Supper and the church be healthy? 70%, 20%, 40%, 60%. What's the percentage? What's the percentage of the Lord's Supper when we have truly gone easy believism and presumption is completely here? What is the Lord Jesus' design for the Lord's Supper? Is it for the few? Churches of the thousands? And we have 10, 15, 20, 30, whatever the number may be? Is it for everybody in the church to come? Maybe if they don't even know they're sinners, should they come? There's a bit of confusion about this on either extreme. It is not about numbers. It is not about percentages. It is about the words he gives us, this glorious command that he sends forth by his Spirit to the hearts of his people. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Oh, congregation, what it would be many. What a blessing if everyone in our congregation, whether they have confessed faith, whether they have been baptized, or whether they simply attend, what a blessing if they came to true repentance and faith in Jesus Christ and wanted to remember him. What a blessing that would be. Of course, it must be truth. Of course, it must be the work of the Spirit. True faith is always the work of the Spirit. But let us not do God's job for him and start remembering things about the Lord's Supper we must not. Let us not give thought to percentages and people, but rather let us give thought to Christ, the glories of the new covenant, and the many that we would rejoice when we see sinners seek to honor him. That is shed for many for the remissions of sins. That is indeed the crowning glory for a broken sinner in his work and in the Lord's Supper, that they remember him. And in so remembering him, not themselves, they're reminded their sins are forgiven. That the death they deserve has been suffered, though not by them. That the requirements of their sins have not been enjoined upon them, but upon him. Upon him. And that is when that marvelous work, that gift of the Spirit, faith, is exercised and strengthened further in the heart of a child of God, because it remembers him. All the way through, it must be about his glory, not about the glory of others, and not about the glory of ourselves. That is why we remember the Lord's Supper. It's a very blessed and glorious command given us by the highest authority in the universe for the strengthening of his people, for the furtherance of his gospel, for the salvation of many, the Spirit applying what he has accomplished, that he would get the glory and the honor. What a beautiful opportunity we have had. Baptism, the washing away of sins, the strengthening of his people, and that gospel spreading out through the rest of the earth in what we call the words of institution for baptism. And so strikingly, the words of institution for the Lord's Supper parallel so many glorious themes along with his sovereign command to remember and focus on him so his people would be strengthened by his own work in the gospel. What wisdom there is and our great King, our heavenly high priest, our infallible prophet, that according to his wisdom, he gives his church these two sacraments, that he gives them the command to partake of them. And he does this all out of a sympathetic heart, understanding what it is indeed a child of God needs. But I hope you have been paying attention. I hope you have been paying attention, because if you do not believe in the Lord, if you do not love him, if you do not think that your sins need to be atoned for, if you can simply push this out of your mind and this does not touch your heart at all, if you are not convicted about the fact your sin deserves eternal punishment because it has offended a God who is holy. If you do not believe that, if you are not convicted of that, if that is not a fundamental truth of your heart and your mind, then do not remember him. Because then you really will be kidding yourself. If you would come here because you want an experience, if you would come to the Lord's Supper to put on a show for other people, if you would come to the Lord's Supper simply out of a custom or tradition because this is the way it has always been done, so I must do it, then do not come. You are not, to use the language of the Apostle Paul, discerning the Lord's body. You do not see the glory and significance of what he has done for a sinner. If you do not come. But notice quite clearly also what has been set before you. If you desire to honor Christ, if you need a Savior, if you understand your hope is not in yourself, because indeed, ultimately, before the standards of God's holy law, there is nothing good in you, and his blood is precious, then come. Then come. And let nothing stop you. Let no lie of the devil, let no doubt of your flesh, let no fear of man keep you from honoring the command of Christ your Savior. And come. And come. And remember him. Amen. Let us briefly pray. Our Lord and our God, our great Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Father, for thy love for sinners, and that thou didst send thy Son into the world not to condemn it, but to save whosoever would put their faith in thee. So, Lord, we pray that thy Spirit would take of Christ and apply his work to our hearts this evening for the first time or afresh. And, Lord, as we would seek to keep thy command in the context of our worship service on this Sabbath day, Lord, let us truly commune with thee. Let us, by faith, remember thee as we partake of the wine and bread. Overpower those with their doubts. Overcome the weaknesses and frailties so often that we experience. Lord, so many of thy people can often confess, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And so, Lord, help this evening. And we ask, Lord, that indeed, if for the sake of thy grace, it would be many, many. Thy blood shed for the remission of the sins of many. And Lord, we pray that Jesus would ever be precious to us. Lord, deliver us from the sin of unbelief. Deliver us from the sin of a Lord's Supper celebration that focuses on man, whether by partaking of it thoughtlessly or partaking of it thoughtfully about things other than me. Heavenly Father, we ask these things not because we are worthy, but because thy Son is worthy. And because thou thyself, Lord, hast sent him to give us this blessed command. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.